This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. As the economy ebbs and flows, different jobs become more in demand during different periods of time. A lot of these jobs may require only vocational school or on-the-job training. And here to talk about training and education programs for future promising job prospects, our Executive Director for Partners for a Competitive Workforce, Janice Urbanek, President and CEO of Great Oaks Career Campuses, Harry Snyder, Assistant Professor at the University of Cincinnati Carl H. Lindner College of Business, Dr. Michael Jones, and Director of Adult Education at Warren County Career Center, Tom Harris. And you can join us with your questions and comments, 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Tom, Janice, Harry, and Michael, thank you all for being here this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Janice, how would you describe the local job market that exists right now?
The local job market is hot right now. We've clearly recovered from the recession. There's lots of jobs available in a variety of different industries, but employers are still saying that they're having trouble finding people with the right skills to fill those positions.
Okay, so it's a matter of they can't find the people who are trained and they have the job spots, just nobody there to work for them.
It's a multifaceted issue. Skills is clearly a part of it. Sometimes it's the hard technical skills. Sometimes it's the work readiness skills, the ability to work in teams and resolve conflict and show up on time every day, pass a drug test. A lot of those are some of the barriers that employers are facing. But there are other challenges that that people have when they consider taking a job, and that might be access to affordable, quality child care if they have children. It could be transportation, the ability to get to school or to get to the job. There's a number of factors that go into ability for someone to take a job.
Mm-hmm. Michael, as the economist here, how do you characterize the job market?
Oh, I agree absolutely with Janice. One of the things that the university we focus on is trying to give those hard quantitative skills to those students. If you see a job title with the word data scientist or data science in it, we are really focusing on making sure that those students have the skills to be successful in that career. One of the things we see is companies have massive amounts of big data, and they need to have employees who can recognize those patterns in the data and be able to provide advice and recommendations on how to improve the profitability for those companies.
Mm-hmm. And Harry, what's your perspective on the job market?
Same thing. We have businesses call every day, mainly.
And they're saying, we're looking for people.
And we want them now. And of course, our students are halfway through the school year. Our adult students are halfway through the school year. So we start building that partnership, that working with business on trying to tie what our students are doing to what that company needs. I think Janice hit it right on the mark. It's a lot of those, I'm going to call them career skills, showing up on time, drug-free, collaborating with other people. Those are what our businesses are telling us. This is what we need. We needed them 6 months ago. When can you get us somebody?
So it's like they say in baseball, it's the fundamentals.
It's the fundamentals. Yeah.
Yeah. Tom, what about you? What's your perspective on the job market?
Well, exactly what the other three have stated. We get calls every day, just like Harry stated, from business and industry. We're getting a lot of calls in the manufacturing area right now, anywhere from industrial controls, heavy equipment operators, to even welders. Medical seems to be very hot, and this is what they're telling us, the same thing. Send us the employees. We can help provide training, but it's the soft skills that they're really ensuring they're getting. There's a lot of people out there that don't have the ability for the transportation, or maybe they even been out of school for a while, so they're afraid to come back into school to get their foot back in the door. So
let's talk some more about what are some of the faster growing job categories that are out there. Tom mentioned several. Janice, what are some areas that you see that are growing quickly?
Manufacturing is really hot right now.
That's going to be on everybody's list, I take
it. Yep, that's on everybody's list. Healthcare is also very hot. Registered nurses and all other levels of nursing are also very hot. But frankly, in the other end of the spectrum, home healthcare aides, people who work in providing home care to elderly or individuals who are homebound or in nursing homes, another very, very hot market. The other one is in the logistics supply chain area, truck drivers, people who have their commercial driver's license. That's frequently the top one or two most posted position in our region.
And as far as manufacturing, we're talking like advanced manufacturing, right? These are not the same type of manufacturing jobs that existed maybe 40, 50 years ago.
Right. Those jobs are all gone. They've been replaced by automation. So, yeah, we're talking advanced manufacturing, people who have computer skills, the ability to look at data, as Michael was talking about, the ability to program machines, program the robots, operate the robots, all of that.
Maintain the machines. You get into FANUC, Motorman. How do you work with those robotics? So it's really helping that early programming, basic programming that kids need to know. And so you're starting to see curriculum shift to more of that.
How long, Harry, does it take to train for a job like that?
Well, our high school programs are two-year programs, but those two-year programs we help the adults do in 1 year. So it's a 900-hour program. It's our certificate-based industry. So, for example, we were talking about robotics, have a FANUC introduction to FANUC machines, maintenance. You can do that in about 25 to 30 hours. So we break them up and we stack them so they're stackable certificates, and that's what we try to do through all our programs.
And with today's technology, I guess you find the same thing with people who are going into automotive mechanics.
Yeah.
There's a lot of computer work there, too.
You're driving a computer. That's exactly right. We just had an employer of the month, Walt Sweeney, yesterday, and he's looking for technicians. He's building a new bay. He's going to need 8 new technicians. And he's just saying, hey, send them our way. They need to understand how to plug a computer in, interpret what the computer's saying. And it really makes the technician more efficient, so they're not just guessing on what needs to be done. They now know how to go in and fix it.
What about the trades, plumbing, welding, electrician, carpenter? Is there still a lot of demand for people in the trade fields?
Yes.
Yeah.
Huge. Plumbing, I think, is the top nine occupations in the city. The challenge, though, is finding people that want to do that work and helping parents understand that there's great opportunities to be a plumber, make $60,000 to $75,000 first year in the field. But parents still want to think, oh, my child should go to college. Nothing wrong with going to college, but there's also great opportunities to work in those vocational fields you talked about, masonry, construction trades, framing. Messer, Turner are knocking on our doors every day, heavy equipment workers. How can you get us more people? So it's those basic skill sets. And as Tom Harris said, when you teach them the basic skill sets, the companies will take them to that next level.
Yeah. And Tom, are you seeing a lot of demand of employers coming along and saying we need people who are skilled in trades?
This week alone, you got to remember, today's only Wednesday, and this week alone we've had calls from employers for well over 30 technicians that they're needed in the areas of HVAC, heavy equipment operations, and advanced manufacturing. 30 just this week alone, and the largest demand is what Harry was saying. You know, we have we'll have an HVAC program. All of our programs are like 10 months or less, and that gives the students the credentials, and it's a national credential and certification. They can get a job anywhere. It's not just a diploma from the Career Center. It's a credential that they earn that's portable, that they can take anywhere in the nation and get that job. HVAC, for instance, is in high demand right now. We can't get enough students to even fill our classes. Sometimes we don't get enough students to even start a class because people are just unaware what's required to become an HVAC technician. Heavy equipment operators, Harry mentioned that one as well. Very much in high demand, you know, with construction. Construction is starting to boom, and Janice stated that as well. With the housing going and the road construction, heavy equipment operators are in high demand right now.
Tom, how are counselors doing in making students aware of non-college opportunities? I mean, like Harry was saying, there's nothing wrong with college. It's a good thing. You don't want to discourage people from going to college. But what about making students more aware that there are a lot of options, jobs that they don't need a four-year degree to go into?
Well, what we're doing here at the Warren County Career Center is that we service 6 other school districts, and our staff, our counseling staff, will actually go to those 6 other school districts throughout the year, and we'll talk to all their junior and their senior students and provide them the information and provide the opportunities for that information to let them know what's available out there. And what's good to know is that, even though they're not going to college, in a way they are, because a career technical students, especially on the adult education side and even on the secondary side, they're still earning college credit. Our students that complete a 900-hour program, for instance, earning up to 30 college credits And that's through the one-year option program that the state of Ohio has put in place. So they're earning college credit at the same time they're getting credential. And a lot of people don't realize what the career centers and how they have evolved in providing our students credit. Mm-hmm.
There's a number of career awareness activities that have been going on, particularly in the manufacturing area in our region. In northern Kentucky, there's a whole campaign that's called I Made It in NKY, which is to raise awareness of manufacturing careers that would be reaching into the middle school all the way through high school and for adults. But then also across the region, there's a competition called What's So Cool About Manufacturing? And it's for middle school kids where we're in 20 different schools across the region. We give them those little GoPro cameras. We pair them up with a manufacturer. The students go in on the manufacturing floor, create a two-minute video about what's so cool about manufacturing. And then there's a big competition in February where it's American Idol style voting, where people vote on the best videos. And last year when we did it with 13 schools, there were 275 people there between parents and teachers and the employers and the kids, and it was a huge success. So this year we expanded it to 20 schools. And it really does get the kids on the floor to see that manufacturing is not like what they've always heard it to be. It helps their parents understand that, and it's a fun way to engage the kids.
So you're talking about junior high age kids, so
middle
earlier.
School.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Middle school.
Yeah, so we're seeing more of that, and we call them our satellite programs. We partner, Great Oaks partners with 36 other schools, and we reach now down to the fourth, fifth grade for those career aspirations. They have robotics competitions. I'm thinking of iSpace. It's mm-hmm. another STEM, a science, technology, education. So we're trying to force it down so there's more career exploration at those earlier ages. And we do that. Great Oaks does that through a satellite programs. As Tom said, they do that through their programs. Butler Tech does. All the career centers in our areas are working with our partnering schools to make that happen. Cincinnati Public School does that. They do some STEM education in those lower schools. So that was probably 3 years ago that mm-hmm. the state really gave us some dollars to say, let's do this more often. So the pipeline's starting to be filled on this end, but it's going to take it a while before it fills it up.
If I could just comment on one of the reasons you're seeing such strong demand for those trade occupations is that you can't outsource someone wiring your house, right? You can't outsource someone doing surgery on you, and you're seeing this strong growth in healthcare. So one of the things our students are concerned with is they're competing in a global environment now. And if you look at those strong demand in healthcare and trade occupations, you can't outsource that. So what we're seeing, and we have our students are competing against those employees from India, from China, from Europe, and how do they compete? And what we need to help them with is to give them those skills, help them to innovate, help them to come up with creative ways of looking at problems. And so we really focus on teaching them leading-edge software to help them program and think about things in a new way.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us, and we'll continue our conversation. You can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Here to talk about training and education programs for future promising job prospects, our Executive Director for Partners for a Competitive Workforce, Janice Urbanik, President and CEO of Great Oaks Career Campuses, Harry Snyder, Assistant Professor at the University of Cincinnati, Carl H. Lindner College of Business, Dr. Michael Jones, and Director of Adult Education at the Warren County Career Center, Tom Harris. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Michael, Janice was saying, and you were saying earlier, that the job growth, the job market in Cincinnati is hot right now. Do you have any local stats on the job market, how it looks mm-hmm. now, how it might look 5 years from now?
Right. Well, our unemployment rate, right, is around 5%, which is the natural rate of unemployment. So we're certainly comfortable with a certain level of unemployment, but about 5%, everyone who's actively looking for a job is able to find one. So we're in really good shape to where we've been after several years of slow economic growth.
And is that part of the reason why it's getting tougher for employers to find people right now because we're almost at full employment?
Absolutely. Those employers are struggling to find those workers with the skills because they're already gainfully employed with companies, and those companies want to hang on to those workers who are doing productive work for them.
Yeah. 513-419-7100. Let's talk with Garrett in Sailor Park. Hi, Garrett.
Hi there.
Go right ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say I'm an employer in the Cincinnati area, and we run a home inspection company, which is a very technical field. You got to know a lot about a house. And it really grinds my gears when I hear employers saying that they can't find candidates with the right skills. Precisely zero of my employees came on board with the skills they needed, and you know, we've become an extremely reputable company because of the amount of training that we've all done together. I mean, I feel like when a company says that they can't find qualified candidates, what they're saying is they're not willing to do the training that's necessary.
Well, and even if they do come in trained, I mean, it's still to the company's benefit to train them even more, isn't it?
Well, certainly.
Yeah. Janice, you're shaking your head saying you agree wholeheartedly with that.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I agree 100%. Through the recession, many, many employers cut their training budgets and their training programs, and many of them are just now starting to bring them back online because of what the caller just referenced, that they recognized that they need to reinstitute their own internal training programs so that when they hire someone, they can make sure that they have the skills that they need at that particular company. We need more employers to be having that same mindset and doing those kind of practices.
And we do have companies that do bring someone on as an intern that has that foundation and does provide apprenticeship program training and helps that student grow. We have a young man that graduated from our precision machining program. He started out, worked 2 years as an intern. When he graduated from us, the company paid for him to go to Cincinnati State. He got his associate degree. This last spring, he got his engineering degree from the University of Cincinnati. And his parents did not have 1 cent of out-of-pocket for college. The company paid for it. So those opportunities are out there. The caller is right. Companies do have to take it on. And Janice and her work, I know, and Tom and up there, we've been working with these companies on establishing apprenticeship programs so there is a pathway for these students to have a way to go.
And there's a huge business return to employers when they do that. We've done a number of return on investment studies, and one of our recent ones was with Richards Industries, who is a valve manufacturer. And they were able to show an 875% return on investment by having their internal training program and by training people that they were hiring and that they did in partnership with Cincinnati State. So a huge business return. They cut years off of the time that it took for a person to get fully productive. All of that is money back into the employer's business.
Mm-hmm. Tom, did you?
Janice,
yeah.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Harry and Janice, and the caller is correct. Here recently in the past, I would say past year, here at the Warren County Career Center, we have noticed a resurgence in business and industry actually coming to us requesting incumbent worker training. What they're doing, they're taking their existing workforce and they're increasing their skills. During the recession, that was almost unheard of. Now they're seeing, because good employees are hard to find, they're taking their existing workforce and they're increasing their skills and adding skill sets to them for they can be more productive and compete in a
Okay, Tom, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. You cut out for just a moment there.
If I could expand on something that Michael mentioned, when he said that, people who are wanting to work and able to work are generally working right now in a full employment economy, one of the discussions we've been having with employers is they need to be thinking about different populations of people to attract because people are working. Right now, there's about 30% of the folks in our community are what are considered underemployed, meaning that they are working at a wage that doesn't lead to self-sufficiency. And Partners for a Competitive Workforce is through the United Way of Greater Cincinnati, and we're very attuned to that from a poverty standpoint. So helping employers think about how can they identify people who might be working in a temporary position or in multiple part-time positions who don't have the time to go get the skills first before they go get a higher skill job. How can employers reach out to them and then through an incumbent worker training program that Tom just mentioned and Harry mentioned, skill that person up? That's a real sweet spot for employers to start thinking about.
Mm-hmm. I think some of the reluctance that employers have to invest in training is that they're afraid that if they spend this money that they might leave, the employee might leave. And there's a quick joke I'll say. The CEO says
Make them too good an employee and you lose them.
Exactly. Okay. So you spend all this money, but what happens if you spend the money and they leave? But the other point of it is, what happens if you don't spend the money and they stay?
Alan Jones, who's with UC Health, and we had that discussion when we started a pathway for the healthcare. And they had that battle. They train a STNA, a state-tested nurse assistant person. They'd get 25 more cents if they went to Mercy, vice versa. And they saw this churn happening. And finally, the HR individuals came together and said, wait a minute. If our mission is to have a better community, it's okay if we train these people and they go to a competitor. We'll probably get them back sooner or later. And so after a while, they realized it, and they started lifting everybody up. So it's just getting that mentality, that culture, to change a little bit. Okay, you want them to stay here. And guess what? If your employee leaves, learns another skill set, had a good experience in your company, and comes back, then you're going to benefit from it.
We got an email from Debbie, and she was wondering what opportunities are there for those over 55, stay-at-home moms who are looking for a career when the kids are gone, or a second career. Now, that's something I had in my mind, too, for people who are 50s and up. Is it too late to change careers? What advice do you have for folks in that?
As someone who's over 50, I'm very attuned to that.
Yeah, me too.
For women in particular, there's a program in Northern Kentucky through Gateway Community and Technical College called Raise the Floor, and it is specifically geared to get women into manufacturing positions. And they have been very successful thus far, and right now in manufacturing, women are greatly underrepresented. Frankly, we hear from employers a lot of times they prefer women in some of those positions because they have a greater attention to detail and ability to multitask and get the job done in a very time-efficient way. So that's one program that I could recommend to Debbie, I believe.
Mm-hmm. A medical office specialist, Debbie, that's another that we see a lot of housewives. Their kids have graduated. They're ready to get back into the workforce. It's a daytime program, so they could come in and do that at Great Oaks. Mm-hmm.
And likewise, because the unemployment level is at 5%, anybody who's really gainfully wanting to find a job can find a job. Right now, because we're in a shortage of qualified workers, it's the people that are 50 years and older who may be retired or semi-retired. They're going to be the saving grace to a lot of our manufacturers and a lot of our employers that are looking, because these people have a proven work ethic. They have some of the training already, and they know what's going on. So a lot of our employers now are looking for those people that are over 50 and maybe even retired.
The other source of employees are people with a criminal history. And there's a program called Nehemiah and their Beacon of Hope Business Alliance, which is specifically targeted to helping people who have come out of the criminal justice system, help them get some work history, specifically in the manufacturing area, but then they may move them on to any other industry. And what employers have told us is when they hire someone who's giving them a second chance, they're some of the most loyal employees that they can find, because they recognize they've been given a second chance. They're able to become productive citizens again. And a lot of times employers shy away from people with a criminal record. This is another part of a different demographic that employers need to start thinking about.
It's Dan Meyer, isn't it?
Dan Meyer.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've heard him say these are the most loyal,
absolutely,
best workers you'll ever find.
Mm-hmm.
Great program.
Yeah. 513-419-7100. Let's talk to Jacob in Sharonville. Hi, Jacob.
Hello.
Go right ahead.
Hi. I'm with a auto glass company in Sharonville, and we were approached by one of our body shops that we do work for, and they were starting up a committee that it was with a bunch of body shops in the area, because body techs and auto glass techs are very hard to come by, just like every other trade. And we kind of are all getting together, and we're coming up with ways that we can pour back into the schools, with whether it's Great Oaks or Warren County, the career centers, and just stuff like that. And there's been a couple of things that we've been able to do. One, just raising money for those organizations, because I know the taxes don't always cut it. But then two, also, even if it's just us, we've thought about providing training for the technicians that are, or for the teachers at the schools, or even if it's going to some of their career days and sending our techs there, and so they can talk with the parents and let the parents know that, look, here I am in this role, and we're doing this now, and I make a great living, and your kid can do that too, without necessarily having to go to college. And I think it's just kind of a time for the industry to step up and even take it one step farther than having great training when you get there, but also be pouring into the career centers and while they're still in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
Harry's happy about that.
I appreciate that. Most of our programs have business advisory committees, and that's exactly what they do. If we can get the businesses to come in and connect with the students, that makes all the difference in the world. Our teachers can talk to them all day long about those career skills, but until a business comes in and says, look, you know, I don't want you to have a lot of tattoos. I don't want you to have earrings. These are what we're looking for. Then that's when their ears perk up. And then when they come in with Parents Night and talk to the parents, too, and talk about the opportunities. Again, mothers are probably the biggest decision makers. They make 80% of the decision on where that student's going to go to school. If we can help change their mindset on what these opportunities are, it makes a big difference.
And I would say even at the universities, we want to hear from those employers. Just last week, I was at an event where we brought in an advisory panel from Fifth Third and P&G and GE and asked them, what are you looking for in our students? What does our curriculum need to have so that we can better prepare our students to be effective? And so it's not just at Great Oaks. We want to hear from employers at the universities as well.
Let's talk to Chuck in Cincinnati. Hi, Chuck.
Hello. How's it going today?
Good, good. Go right ahead.
Hey, Janice, I just saw you over at Max Train a little bit ago.
Ah, good. Yes.
So I wanted to give you my perspective here. I'm a trainer at Max Train where we actually take people that are either underemployed or unemployed and help them learn programming, Java programming, to become an apprentice programmer out of this program. I mean, it's very technical. It's very deep. I used to be a college professor, too, so I know what the differences are. College is great, but this is more of a program where it's very focused on one particular aspect of the rubber meeting the road.
Okay, so a very specific program, a little more on the practical side?
Yes, yes, okay. Yes.
But Cody,
you know, we don't have a 4-year program, so we know what's coming up in the next couple months as far as the technology. Whereas if you're doing a college program, you're preparing for what's coming up in 4 years, which is really hard to predict. That's why colleges tend to be more philosophical, I guess you might want to say. Not that it's a bad thing, but that's the way those programs work. So we're also helping to feed that pipe that you're talking about.
Okay. Chuck, thank you very much for the call.
Mark, next year we start, as one of our math course, a coding class. And we believe that's the next foreign language that all high school students should have. Because what we're hearing from employers, from insurers, from everyone is, I need somebody just to do some basic coding. And we've kind of gotten away from that. You know, we were talking about our age, and I'm that punch card Pascal learner at the University of Cincinnati. And, you know, that was a long time ago when you took in your big stack of cards. Well, we just take it for granted. And now it's come back, and that basic coding, back to robotics, Fanuc Motor Man, you got to be able to do that coding. So
I think there is this perception that, well, university is this philosophical 4-year, you're isolated, but we're changing. I think at the Lindner College of Business, we realize that employees want to come back for 2 or 3 classes. Yeah. Can they just get a certificate in this marketing skill? And so we are offering that to employees.
There has been a shift, you're right, Michael, toward more of a career training type of focus.
Right.
Yeah. Let's talk to Mary. Hi, Mary.
Yes.
Go right ahead.
So perhaps I should, you know, open up an envelope and allow second chances to happen for that person. Is that what you're saying?
Okay, Mary, sorry. What's your question again?
Okay, my question is do you think that maybe I should open the envelope on my phone and, you know, read things and perhaps maybe have a gracious heart and maybe give somebody a second chance?
Is that what you're asking? An employer should?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe I should give that person the opportunity.
Like Janice was talking about earlier with second chance for people.
Yeah, sure. People who are coming out of the criminal justice system, who are really focused on getting back into society and being a productive member, can be a very, very loyal employee. And, if your job is a way that they can do that, then go for it.
And let's talk to Susan in Dayton. Hi, Susan.
Hello.
Hi. Go right ahead.
Hi. So I feel like I fall under the underemployed section that you spoke of.
I have a college degree. I'm currently working in retail, but whenever I apply for more serious jobs, they often tell me I'm either underqualified or I don't have the proper training.
Okay. So you're looking for what advice would they have for someone in your situation?
Yes, that's basically what I'm looking for is advice, because I'm willing to train and relearn things. I speak a second language. I had good grades. I've been working at my current job for several years, so it's not as if I don't have a work ethic.
Okay.
So you got to decide question. What you're going to bridge into. So let's say, now again, Janice talked about heavy equipment operators. Women do a great job in that. We have an aviation maintenance program, and with their hands, they think, oh, I got to work on a big airplane. But in fact, the tool does the work, and they have the finesse and the touch that employers are looking for. If you think outside the box and don't just think about the occupations that women traditionally do and look at non-tradition, you would be surprised how many doors are open for you. So when we have a non-traditional student, a young lady in one of our auto technician programs who's a painter, guess what? Employers look at her and they snatch her up because she can do that detail painting that maybe a young man doesn't have the patience to do or the artistic ability. Welding. I can't tell you how many young ladies have the touch and are superior welders just because they're able to look at things a little bit differently and have that special touch that makes a big difference. We have a lot of success stories that we could tell you about non-trad people in different occupations. So the nice thing about vocational education is you can come back and, again, get those short-term certificates. Do it on a part-time basis. Try it out. See if you even want to do it. You can take a 7-week welding course just to see if that's something you might even want to try to do. So that's one way to explore your new journey in life.
And we have to end on that note. And thanks to everybody for joining us this afternoon. Executive Director for Partners for a Competitive Workforce, Janice Urbanik. President and CEO of Great Oaks Career Campuses, Harry Snyder. Assistant Professor at the University of Cincinnati, Carl H. Lindner College of Business, Dr. Michael Jones. And Director of Adult Education at Warren County Career Center, Tom Harris. Coming up, what employers are looking for when they're hiring new workers. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.